Okay, this is April?
Wednesday, April the 8th, 2009. Craig Buchek doing the feature presentation on WordPress.
Roll it.
Okay, let's grab a seat and get going.
We're ready!
Okay, I'm going to make an announcement first. We frequently kind of taken our time getting out of here in the past, and we've always been very appreciative of Graybar's hosting. And their cleaning crew needs to get in here and actually get to work promptly this evening. So we will get our butts out of here before 9 o'clock. So we're not going to run long tonight, and we'll carry on any meeting in the post-meeting meeting or out in the parking lot, but we'd like to get out of this room and turn it over to the cleaning crew by 9. So with that, our feature presentation tonight will be on WordPress. Our speaker is Craig Buchek. Craig's been with our organization for, a lot of years. Has held posts such as the president, the chairman of the St. Louis Lug, and a number of other good positions. And currently he is doing firewalls as well as some Ruby on Rails development for a major beer company in St. Louis who will go nameless. So with that, I'll turn it over to Craig.
I didn't know there were any major beer companies left.
I'm working in St. Louis at a major beer company. If you guys want to follow along with this presentation, it's actually a wiki page on how I built my WordPress sites. wiki.boochtek.com/build/wordpress. So most of what I'm going to do is follow along there. But I'm going to start a little ahead of that. While I'm mentioning who I am, I'm Craig Buchek. I'm on Twitter now. I just signed up like 2 days ago or yesterday. So if you want to follow me, Craig Buchek on Twitter. No punctuation. We're going to start from the beginning. I own CraigBuchek.com. I went to, you can go to GoDaddy or whatever. And I point them, GoDaddy, at a site called EveryDNS.net. Actually, they own the .com now as well. It's not EasyDNS, it's EveryDNS. Run by a former member of our group who's moved on to bigger and better things. He runs and owns a site called OpenDNS now, so you may have heard of that. He still runs this as a somewhat nonprofit. That is David Yulevich runs this. I don't think I've paid my $30 that he's requested yet, but you get pretty good service for free, or you can pay one time $30. So my GoDaddy or whatever I use, I think I use... I don't even remember the name of it anymore. What did we use for our domains?
Dotster.
Dotster. So CraigBuchek.com comes from Dotster. I point Dotster at this ns1.everydns.net, ns2, ns3, ns4. And then everydns serves the names. So when you're looking up blog.craigbuchek.com, the first thing you'll do is you'll go to the top-level.com domain, and the way I've set up Dotster is that will point to ns1.everydns. And it's got this little online thing where I can configure all the subdomains of craigbuchek.com. So what I've done is set up blog.craigbuchek.com to point to this IP address, and that happens to be the system I'm logged into here. That is a Slicehost slice. Slicehost is a local company in St. Louis, although they did just get bought out by, I believe, Rackspace. Again, it's a company run, owned by a former member, Matt Tanasi, is one of the founders of that company. For $20 a month, you get a system with, I think, 256 meg of RAM, 10 gig drives of hard drive space, and more bandwidth than I need. and more CPU than I need. And they've got other plans as well. So I've got a little host basically out on the internet here. And I've got blog.craigbujek.com pointing at it. So I've set my Apache instance up for a virtual host for this site. Created the directories, creating the... I use Debian, so it's pretty easy to set up a host. And then I enable that site, and then I restart my Apache. So that's all done to this point. So I've told Apache to look in /var/www.blog.craigbujek.com/public. And I've gotten into the habit of having a directory for the site and then a public directory for the public-facing stuff so I can put other stuff sort of outside of that public directory, anything I don't want the public accessing. From there, we're going to install WordPress from scratch on this box. I actually have a second copy running, but I've pushed it out of the way so it won't get in the way. Current version of WordPress is 2.7.1. It looks like 2.8 is coming out pretty soon. They're already talking about what they want to do with 2.9. WordPress is definitely geared towards blogging. And it's blogging when you kind of want to have control of your blog site. There's Blogspot and Blogger, which I think are actually the same company now that are owned by Google. If you kind of just want to get started blogging and don't want to run your own stuff and don't really care about how it looks too much and the features, those are the way to go. But most of us here are Linux geeks and like to run our own systems and servers and services, so WordPress is probably pretty well tailored for us.
Well, there's also a hosted version of WordPress.
Yes. WordPress.com is the hosted version, sort of like Blogger, Blogspot, or any of the other hosted blogging services. But it runs WordPress software. I'm not sure how they work extensions and plugins and all that stuff, but probably pretty well. There are some constraints when you run through their site. I believe they have two options. The free one is to have, you know, xyz.blogger or xyz.wordpress.com, and the pay site is you can use any domain name that you want and point it at them. I don't know too much about them other than that. Let's see. If you want to use WordPress as a content management system, I tried that a couple years ago and it wasn't quite sufficient for that. These days it may be more able to use it as a general content management system, and that just means that it's a website that you can maintain through the web without having to log into the shell and updating your pages. So we'll actually take a little look at that if we have some time. I don't think this is going to run too long. To run WordPress, you're going to need a copy of Apache. Not too hard to install these days. PHP, a current version of MySQL. And you really want mod rewrite so you can get URLs that look reasonable. My wiki page process assumes that we're working on a Debian system, that we've got sudo to run things as root, that the user that I have logged in can write to var www. In the Debian case, that's because I'm a member of the www-data group. My user can create a MySQL database because I put the root username and password in the .my.cnf. That's actually my production password, so I'm not going to show you that. And Apache's already been set up with the virtual host like I showed you on the other page. Just basically a virtual host pointing at that directory. And so let's go on. I'm actually going to copy and paste things here. This is semi-scripted. My installation instructions have a lot of why we're doing what we're doing here. So we're going to download the latest copy of WordPress. My instructions here tell you how to find the latest version. So I already know it's 2.7.1, so we're going to pull that down. All right, that didn't take too long. And we're going to unpack it, and I have a sort of bad habit of deleting the source tarball as soon as it's done. So, actually, I have WordPress 2.7.1 good, which is my backup copy that I'm running real sites off of currently. And then we got 2.7.1. All right. Could have set the ownership of these directories so that anyone in the www data group can modify the site, update the site, including myself. Also, WordPress does like to save quite a few things to the file system. If you upload images, it'll go into the file system. If you add themes or plugins, they'll go into the file system. So the web server itself also needs to be able to write to it. So the first one is changing the ownership. So before the directory was owned by Booch Booch, now it is owned by.
Put the password in.
Thought I got it right the first try. Let's try again.
File system. Is it somewhere outside of your document group?
Unfortunately, it's not geared that way, no. I may work on making it that the case. I'm not sure how well that's going to work, though. I've moved the config file is the only thing in WordPress so far that I've moved outside of the document group. I've been looking at this other content management system called Concrete 5. It is geared so that you can have things outside of the document group. Rails is another thing that the standard directory hierarchy has public, and then your application actually sits outside of that. I've been gearing my PHP apps the same way. Really, that's the best practice security-wise now for web applications is to have your code actually sit outside of the document group, the public directory. Unfortunately, WordPress is not gotten to that point yet.
Now, do you run multiple sites off of one WordPress installation, or do you have to have a single WordPress installation per site?
The way it comes packaged, it's not very well geared to running multiple sites off of one package. My wiki page does show how to run multiple sites off of one out of one directory hierarchy.
It is relatively easy to make sure that the multiple sites don't step on each other as far as is there some sort of fence between them all?
The pages and the comments themselves are in separate databases. The plugins, the themes are in shared directories, and I'm not sure about images. They may actually be in shared directories, so that could cause a potential problem. I'll probably work on separating the stuff out so that they are. So you do have a core and a per site config. So I may work on that, and I might contribute to the project itself. Right now, it's not the greatest for multi-site or for separating out the static stuff from the dynamic code.
Quick question. Can you ever hear in the back? It's okay? Okay.
All right, so we've changed the ownership of the directory. Now I'm going to make it writable to the group.
Why is that?
So that my user account and anyone else who happens to be running or maintaining this web server can make changes to the site.
The next person to the line have a question.
Okay. finally, I'm setting on all directories. I'm doing a chmod G plus S. what that does, it's sort of a... What?
Sticky?
Yes.
SGID.
Well, yeah. Basically, what it says is if you're in this directory and you create or write a file, the group of that file should be the same as the group of the directory. So if I create a file, since I made it...
Right. New files inherit the group ownership of the directory rather than inheriting the group ownership of the person who created it.
Right. So the reasoning behind that is, and this should really happen on any web directory that more than one person is accessing, it's so that when I create a file, or for that matter, when Apache creates a file, although I guess it defaults to the right group, anyone else in the www data group can change that file. So they don't get blocked out.
Can you also use that to apply write permission for group?
Write permission.
In other words, if you want group to always be W.
No, for that,
you
have schemas, like ACLs.
No, because some FTP tools don't obey UMass, like Dreamweaver.
Right.
And every time you upload a file, you don't get group.
You can use FTP to set
permissions, but you can't force permissions in Unix.
Well, no, I'm saying this sticky bit inherits.
Yeah, if you use an ACL.
Group ownership, but not group.
Like
setup, right.
Setup ACL has that ability, but that's a whole other presentation. But yes, that is.
Actually, I don't think we ever talked about that extensively. Have we? ACLs?
Not in years.
Yeah.
Been a long time.
That'd be a good talk.
But yeah, it is possible, but it's not.
All right, the next thing I'm going to do is turn off indexes so that you can't do a direct directory listing of the site. I haven't hooked it in to test it right now, but basically just create a .ht access file.
That's what I was wondering about. Why did you do a group plus W on .ht?
Because when you install and configure WordPress, it can actually write the rest of the .ht access file for you.
Okay.
All right. All right. Next, we're going to create a. This is sort of the magic that lets you do multiple sites with one copy of the WordPress directory. Basically, all it's doing is pulling in a separate config file and doing the things that the config file has to do. I've gotten to not closing my PHP tags on the advice of some PHP experts.
What does that do?
What?
Not closing your PHP tags.
It makes sure that you don't get extra white space for one thing.
Your what?
If you close your PHP tag and you have an extra blank line, you'll end up with an extra blank line in your output. And if you have any output before you try to send headers, it won't let you send the headers.
Right.
Yeah, that's so actually, that's the error before sending script headers thing that I've seen. Oh, okay.
This is kind of a best practice. When I had the PHP best practices, it's one of the things I found. If you have a file that's all PHP code, don't bother with the closing tag.
It's a standard if you send a framework, too, if you've ever played with that.
All right. So our wp-config file looks like that. Pretty simple. Just pulls in a separate per-site config file and then pulls in all the WordPress stuff. If we look, there's a wp-config-sample file. Basically, at the top, I moved all the top stuff out to a separate file. And then I copied this into the standard file. All right. Now we're going to do per-site installation. I'm working on my personal blog here. So the site is called that. And my convention is to have a directory named after the URL of the site. So we can change that directory. Nope. I didn't create it, Brian. All right, sudo. I'll copy it from here. All right, and what I'm going to do is I'm not going to take the existing public directory and delete it and then link it to the current version of WordPress. So, let's see if that works for us. All right, so if I look in here, public is pointing to WordPress-271 in the previous directory, or the parent directory. So I'm going to create a MySQL database for the WordPress site. This is something, did we talk about that last month on bash variable substitution? I read it in the, also read it in the latest Linux journal. Basically, it's sort of like a sed for the variables. So site contains blog.craigbujak.com. This says, replace globally the periods with underscores. So I figured I'd use what I just learned the other day instead of running it through sed and backticks and all that stuff. So underscores there. And okay. Next thing I'm going to do is set the user. And the next thing I'm going to do is make up a password. And I don't have to remember it because I've taken steps to record it later.
So basically you're creating a set of environment variables that WordPress is going to use to...
Well, that my script is going to use in a couple different places. All right, so there's my password. Now I'm going to create the database, and again I said that this works without having the root password because root password is in my .my.cnf file, the MySQL configuration. So created the database, didn't get any error back, and now I'm going to set permissions to allow this user WP Craig Buchek, to access this database with this password. I had done similar things using sudo, but trying to use a here document with sudo requires you to do a subshell with sh-c, so the .my.cnf trick works a lot better than trying to get around the sudo issue of here documents. And actually, I don't think it's the here documents, actually it's redirecting the output to a file.
What's the .cnf
to? The my.cnf?
Right.
Well, I'd show it to you, but it's got my production password.
No, what is it? What's its purpose?
To allow you to set specific items that MySQL clients and daemons will pull in.
I should have figured that out. So it's a conf file for MySQL.
Yes. You can have a etsy MySQL / my.cnf, and you can have a .my.cnf in your home directory. All right, so I'm actually going to save this into my my.cnf so I can keep track of the username and password that I just selected there. All right. And... So now we're going to manually create the configuration file. One of the things that it requires is some random strings for secret keys for encryption of cookies. So that's what these first four things are. This basically takes 1K worth of random bytes out of the WU random device file and runs it through SHA and then grabs just the SSH sum instead of the dash. So let me run each piece of that. This is probably going to get a little messy. We're going to take 1,024 random bytes and throw them on the screen. Some weird stuff happened there. I'm not sure what. All right. So we're going to run that through that, and we get this nice long random string. I guess it could be more random because that's just hex, but it's a long enough hex string, random hex string, it should be fine. And then you see how it's got this dash here because it came from standard in? Well, yeah, because the SSH 256 sum program came from standard in, it's got the dash there. So I run that through awk to just grab the first piece. I'm sure there are several ways to do that. These three lines are from standard error, and this one's standard out.
So you could.
So I've got just the piece I want.
You could discard those anyway.
Well, they get discarded
yeah.
when I pipe it through. Mm-hmm. So what was I doing here with that? Key one equals. Okay, so. So. One equals backtick. I got my closing backtick. All right, and then I'm gonna do the same with key 2, 3, and 4. And since these are random input, they'll come up with different values. So echo key 1, 2, 3, 4, all different random numbers there. All right. So, I'm using my environment variables for those four keys and for the database user and password settings, so I don't have to type them in again, and I only have one place in this wiki page that shows where I would have typed my password, so I don't have to type the same thing in a bunch of different places. So, this is going to create my per site config file. And we'll take a look at that. We'll do a. So we've got the public directory, and then we've got this config file. And the config file looks like this. Mm. Pretty much just defines, you know, my password, username, database.
No blank space at the top.
What? That's just because it's.
No blank space above it.
I did a less.
Oh, okay, did a less. Okay.
And looks like typing that hex stuff in there broke something. Oh, maybe not. There's not really blank space. And there might be, well, nope, just the one between the PHP and it. So, basic settings. One thing I found in a lot of people's MySQL databases is they have this collation of Latin and Swedish. I guess because MySQL comes from a Swedish, comes from Sweden. Or is this the default still, though, or not?
I don't know.
I've run into many instances where they're collating in Swedish. I don't know the the effects of that, but I imagine you'll come up with some little odd little thing that, you know, maybe CH comes after, you know, CZ or something for something. Something
work,
weird.
Work.
Yeah, yeah. you can, if you want to share a database with some other program, or in fact with multiple instances, you can put a different prefix in here to change your prefixes on your tables. It's highly recommended to use UTF-8 as your character set, and you can define different languages in WordPress. I don't know if they come by default or not. Let's see. No, there are no languages by default, but it is localizable to other languages if you have that need. All right, where are we at? All right, we're actually ready here to go run the site, and I've actually done most of the configuration already.
Craig, so, can you go back to your PuTTY window and do an ls-l on the WP config?
And where?
Right there. Is it worth actually making the permissions on that 640? Does that do anything particularly useful for you?
It would be nice just for us security conscious people, sure. But yeah, actually, it is a good idea.
Yeah, it's not going to break anything.
Well, this particular host is really only me, but
there is no other. Clear one thing up, Craig. What about other content in this site? Would there be another directory under blog.craigbuchek.com, or would it be something under public?
What kind of content?
Page content.
Page content actually comes from the database.
Okay. So the only reason to have this subdirectory is to have WP config, and then your symlink takes you back to everything else.
Well, the symlink takes you back to the code. That I mean, when we go, if we look in public.
No, what I'm saying is there would the only thing that you would normally see in your sub-site directory is its WP config and the symlink to public.
The way I've set it up, yes. The way it should be set up, actually, you should have all your code sitting out here above public or next to public. Really, public should be just things that are publicly accessible. It should really be one file, one PHP file, index.php. Really is about the only thing that should be in public.
Well, plus WP admin and stuff like that.
I'd even argue that should be called from index.php, just to keep as much code as you can out of public so that you can't run it except for this one little narrow hole. Security conscious people like to have as small an attack surface as possible. If you only have one file out there sitting in public, there's only one entryway they can come in. Like I said, unfortunately, it's got a pretty big attack surface. All these are in public. You know, there's a ton of PHP files that they can run, and if any of one of those has a vulnerability, then you know the site can be hacked into. In fact, this XML RPC file is the one that I've noticed the most issues with in WordPress. I'm not even sure if I need it or if it's. It might just be, it's probably just for pingbacks. Although this one may be for pingbacks as well. So,
what is the security history of WordPress?
Not terrible. Most of the security issues I've seen have been fairly minor. But I haven't really kept too strongly up with it. All right, so. Actually, that's all it takes to get the site prepared. Oh, not wiki. Blog. All right. And so, looks like it's working pretty well. It just wants a title and my email address.
Mm-hmm.
And. I'm going to actually uncheck this box that says allow my blog to appear in search engines just because I'm not ready. I'm just putting junk content in there right now, so I don't want it to be indexed. I'm not sure exactly what that checkbox does, if it sets a robots.txt to tell robots not to look at my site yet. But I want to try to prevent Google from indexing me just yet. All right, hit the install there. It's pretty important that you copy this password. I think I have actually hacked the database to change the password, but I don't remember.
Yeah,
I don't remember how off the top of my head.
You can go in and especially if you move it to a different system, sometimes the encryption scheme changes. So you have to reset the passwords.
I'm not sure what encryption scheme this is. It's not MD5 some. If it was that, I could generate it on the command line and toss it in my database.
But you can still do it.
I think I've done that for DocuWiki, but I think in WordPress I had to go find the code that encrypts it and run that manually, and it was kind of a pain in the butt. So if you want to keep your site,
that password. If you Google it, there is a 10-line script to reset a password on the current system.
From the command line?
Right.
All right, so type in admin, type in that password, and log in. And, all right. Now, first thing we probably want to do is see what the site looks like. All right. It comes with a post already there and a comment in that post already. So, Mr. WordPress said this, you know. So let's go back to the... Let's go. This is the admin screen. WordPress 2.7 has changed quite a bit the layout of the administration. Let me shift my font so it looks nice. These menus are collapsible, and actually they default to mostly collapse, but I opened them all up in a previous instance of this blog. You can also hit this little button here to change them to just icons, which is kind of cool. So each of these has subsections and flyout menus. So first thing we probably want to do is change the appearance, because this is kind of ugly.
Sure.
And it looks like everyone else's WordPress blog. So themes, it comes with only a couple themes. We can do the classic theme. In order to, it doesn't have a way to automatically download them. So if you look at my wiki post, let's see. I've got some themes that you can download. It shows them how to download them. I'm just going to copy them across from my other site right now. That just says it didn't preserve the times because I'm not rude. So, no big deal. And should have more themes in there now. All right. And it does a little preview of your themes. This one has a different color at the top for different times of day, which is kind of cool. So I can activate that, click up here to visit my site. And one of the problems with this is it's no columns, so all the content and sidebar items are in one place, so I don't really like that, so let's try something else. This one looks pretty nice. I'll activate that, see what it looks like. Not too bad. Well,
that's your G weird. Gets mixed up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little weird. And I'm at 100% font size, so it's not something I'm doing weird with my browser. Nice color use there, though. Been working on my own over here, which I didn't put a preview image, but...
it's so just perfect.
What I've been playing around with. It puts posts too close together, though, right now. So.
What does it make the theme? What are the themes written
in? PHP and HTML.
Like an XML piece of...
No, there's no XML that you really need to learn. We can take a look at one, I guess. Let's take a look at... We got another half hour. Themes... let's see, mine is called testing. I think the main part is called style.css, which has just this little comment header Actually, this is a bad example because this is using a parent theme called Sandbox, or they call it a template. So let's go look at Sandbox. It's pretty complicated how it decides which of these PHP templates to use. I believe index, it defaults to index if there's not a specific one for the type of page. And there's this weird hierarchy of how it determines the fallbacks for, you know, if you're on the search page, it'll go to search PHP, and if there is no search PHP, it'll go to archive.php, and if there's no archive, it'll go to index.php. There's actually a really good picture somewhere on the WordPress site that shows you how this all flows. This inbox theme is pretty much all the PHP code with no CSS, so it looks really, really plain, but it's got a lot of IDs and classes on the HTML, so you can really mark it up with CSS real easily. My testing theme is really just CSS on top of that really pretty well-written HTML. Besides the HTML part, there's PHP calls to pull in the name of the site and the articles that you want to show, article or articles, depending on which kind of page you're on. If you just want to show the whole article or a part of the article, or loop through all the articles. Pretty extensive set of calls to do all those things. I haven't really gotten into it. For one thing, Sandbox does most of what I want to do.
Do you use a web page authoring tool of any kind, like HTML Kit or something?
It's just HTML with PHP code in it, so whatever you can edit that with, whatever you're comfortable editing with it. Actually, you can go edit it. If I go into themes, there's a theme editor. I can go edit it here, but you know, there's no. It's just a text area box. It's just plain.
Oh, okay.
So there's nothing I can do. So, but I mean, it's just a file in the file system. Do whatever you want to do there.
Okay.
I don't think it's got any good support for uploading and file management of files in the file system. But really, they're just, you know, files in the file system. You can edit specific ones. Not too big a deal. So I guess the other thing I generally want to do is set up my general settings. The important things are, do you want to let people subscribe or register to get accounts on this blog? You probably don't want to do that. You probably want to, if you're going to have multiple people blogging on the same blog, you probably want to manually set up their user IDs. And really, I should set up an account for me instead of logging in as admin every time so it has my name on it. You can set the time. It does a pretty good job of figuring it out for you, though. You can set the date format, how you want your dates displayed and your times. When does the week start? I like to change that one. The tagline, that's the part under the title, defaults to just another WordPress blog, so put wherever you want there, like personal thoughts or stuff to read or whatever, or, you know, stuff about my cat, whatever. The other kind of important thing I like to do is permalinks. By default, every blog entry is going to be the name of the site and then P equals 123, which, oh, it's my 123rd blog entry. How exciting. You're much better off, and in fact, there's some papers out there that say that search engines are going to find you better and understand your page better if you give it a real name. So you can give it the day and the name, or do custom, and it's got a pointer to the different tags you can use in here. I've got a specific one I like to use. The year, the month, the day, and then the name of the post, which is, I guess, the same as this one here, except without the ending slash. And save that. All right, so, this is where I had to make the HT access file writable. It actually just updated it for me. Unfortunately, that's a, it's in the shared directory. Oh, no, it's not.
It said that you should, but it said on the site.
Oh, hey, I thought I changed that. If it were writable, I thought it was writable. Ha, do that in BSD.
What? I didn't see it.
Put a dash A on the end of your command line. Ah, didn't change the permissions. All right, so. All right, structure updated. So, all right. All right, so it added, WordPress added this portion there. Again, this is in the shared directory, but this is really generic stuff, so it really doesn't matter. Basically, it just allows anything to be rewritten, any file that doesn't exist, to go to the index.php file. Sort of that single entry point for anything that doesn't exist. All right, so we go to the site, and we click on the link there. We see that it's got a nice-looking URL. Let's see what else is there to look at. Well, let's start by adding a new post. Gotta talk about your cat, right? All right. And, of course, a nice WYSIWYG editor there. Something that's a little confusing is it's gotten a little better. Save you see your save button here, and then you realize it's save draft and actually put it out there. You have to hit publish. You can actually change when it gets published. So if I don't want this to show up until tomorrow, you know, I can set it at a specific time tomorrow and okay there and schedule publishing it. And so it actually won't show up right now. Since I'm logging as admin, I can actually see it myself. And then I believe we can go in. We can go to the main edit page, click on it, hit edit here. And let's say we published it today. And publish. All right, so now when we visit the site, we should see it. All right, like I said, these run together a little in this theme. But it's there.
Can you set it to the past?
That's a good question. Probably. I think we posted that in March. I wonder if it sorts it. Oh, it even sorts it.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of handy, actually, if I have a previous blog or something and I want to kind of copy some stuff over or stuff that I was thinking back then and saving up for my blog, but
and didn't get to really publish it until now. Is there specific things people want to see?
Pages.
What?
You can also do.
Yeah. Let's go do that. So this is post. Let's open this up a little. And then there's pages. Posts are basically blog entries. Pages are more static pages that aren't bloggy. Okay, that's maybe not a word.
Regular site.
Yeah. If you're just having a regular website, and that's kind of losing meaning a bit because websites are very different these days from each other, you just do pages instead of posts. So let's add some pages.
No, say you want to give your client a web page they can edit. You know, the comment was
you'd probably give them their
yesterday. I threw out WordPress and Scott jumped on it. That was a good idea. You know, as a simple CMS that the client can not actually figure out how to maintain. So that would be the reason to do a page, right?
Well, if you were giving somebody like a quote unquote web page, right, using this, you'd probably give them a whole WordPress site, right?
And then have them edit all pages, static, pretty much.
Right. Well, I'm saying the site would have pages, but then there'd be no blog entries.
A good question is if we were to move slug.org to WordPress, would we have blog entries and regular pages? And I think we probably would. We'd probably use blog entries for, hey, our next meeting is going to be, you know, April 8th, and it's going to be all about this and this and this, and those would show up on the front page.
Meeting notes would be a good blog, you know, material. Meeting notes, like
meeting
after
notes.
The meeting,
okay.
This is what happened, right?
But a page would be, you know, where our meetings are, you know, the location, the map.
Well, the page would be the current structure, and then you'd have the ability of adding, you know, change the main page to have blog entries on it, so you can do things like that, talk about upcoming events. You just do them as blog entries instead of static text, and then, you know, having a meeting discussion page where people could post blog entries about topics and things about a meeting.
Well, I don't know that would have everyone blogging, and I think you'd have upcoming events would be sort of your blog post, and then everything else would be
a
page.
Like
you could comment. You probably have discussion and comments on
right. The like page. Like you could post. You
or
know,
pages.
We're talking about, you know, what the topic for the next meeting should be. You know, if you have ideas, comment here or whatever.
All right. So,
can you upload screenshots with your posts and stuff if you want to?
Yes.
Talk about some.
Let's see where those are at. I don't know how easily that is. I thought it was over here on the right. Let me see. I might have to hit something. Kitchen sink. Nice. Oh. Add an image. There we go. All right, so
you have to save an image before you can upload.
Lots of metadata there. I'll call it that. That's fine. Blah blah blah. I answered that, did I?
Does it maintain a log of who did what when? Versions too? And versions? It does versions, right?
Yeah. All right, so. Insert into post. Okay, there we go. So you got video, audio, and other media as well. You can go edit your raw HTML if you want, or visual. Pages have attributes, like where you put them, categories, allowing comments and pingbacks, and custom fields there.
What's a ping?
A pingback is sort of
If someone posts a reference to your page, they can send you a little ping that says, hey, it's sort of like a comment, but it's a comment on someone else's blog. So, like, if I make this post and you want to comment on my post, but I don't have comments open, you can comment on your post, reference my URL, and have your post ping me back, and then my site will add a link to your site. So it's a way to have conversations between different blogs, really. Do you have another comment?
It puts a comment on your blog that says, you know, hey, I blogged about your blog.
All right, so let's do that page, and let's go view it. So that's under /home. Nice URL there. And then we've got these pages here. By default, you have a menu of pages. So we've got the About page, and we've got the Home page.
Greg, I guess it auto-generates RSS feeds for you?
Yes. So you go click over here, and it'll have the one that was created before, and then the one about cats here.
What is Sandbox again?
Of course, I've got something set up so it automatically goes to Google Reader when I click on a feed. So I don't remember how to read the raw feed there. But Sandbox is my theme.
The little orange basically. In your address bar, the little orange thing right there.
It automatically goes to Google. I've got my Firefox set up.
Well, I thought if you...
I don't think. Maybe there's...
Yeah.
Yeah, all I can do is subscribe. I just have posts and comments there, choices there. That's nice. Let's see, what else should we take a look at? You've got tags and categories. You've got your media in here. You can see what you have uploaded. Links aren't too exciting. Some people use those. All right. If I want to delete comments, I can delete them or mark them as spam. I think if you mark them as spam, it kind of recalls what words they used and things like that. The dashboard is probably where you're going to look at comments, though. If you log into the admin portion, just hit view all here, and you can look through the comments. Delete them real quickly there. Check the ones you want to delete. Hit bulk actions, delete, and hit apply. Plugins. You can add new plugins to the site, which doesn't make any sense. You can add plugins, but not themes. I'm not sure where that is. Hopefully, that'll be fixed in the next version. So, one of the things I like to do is install the stats plugin. You've got ratings here, so I think this is probably the best stats one that I'm aware of. So, click install. It'll actually download it. That's why I had some of the directories writable. Hit install now, and then you have to activate it. There's installation and activation. So now it's activated. It comes with a couple built-in plugins. The Akismet is a spam prevention, comment spam prevention. You do have to sign up for an API key from them, so not quite plug and play there. So let's look for some more plugins. Widgets are basically things that go in the sidebars, so let's see what we can find to put in the sides. Community popular posts. Alright, let's install that one. Alright, so now I can go to, gotta activate that. Alright, we can go into, here's the StatPress. One of the plugins has stats here.
Not very interesting statistics at this point because I haven't really done anything. Where are the... Okay, widgets are, like I said, things that are in the left or the right side. So we can show the popular post here. We'll add that to sidebar one. And then let's show save changes. And then let's go look at sidebar two. And we'll add, let's add a little, let's add search form to that. And let's make the search form say search by site. Ow. All right. Save the changes there. Check out the site.
Whoa.
Oh, so the left side says popular post. There's no popular post. And the right side says search my site now. So let's see what cats. Oh, hey, look, search result for cats. Exciting. All right, what's going to show you? Anyone have questions on how they'd like to use this?
User comments.
What?
User comments. So they post a comment on it, but you don't necessarily have to publish it. Is there a
way
to manage that?
I'm not sure. I haven't really looked at that. I think it's probably under discussion here. Other comment settings. Comment author must fill out name and email. Users must be registered. Automatically close comments. Break comments. Here you go. Before a comment appears, an administrator must always approve the comment. That's probably the thing you're looking for there.
There's an interesting one right under it. Comment author must have a previously approved comment. So you can just approve a commenter.
Yeah, well, yeah, the like, if you come to my blog and you comment and you put the same info under name, although that could probably be abused pretty easily if people know about this setting, and the spammer says, oh, Gary's posted there. My name's Gary now. I don't know if it looks at the... It may require you to put the same email address in as well.
And that could be hidden.
Yeah. You can put words to blacklist. I think it comes with a blacklist that I looked through and was kind of funny.
But spammer's creative spelling, that's kind of...
I don't remember what it was. I was reading a spammer blacklist and it had dirty words and stuff and it replaced them with funny words like, you know, fudge or, you know, happy. And I was like, that's pretty funny. Avatars, all kinds of fun stuff there. So let's go take a look at the site. Let's add a comment, I guess. Let's cats. Your cat sucks.
Meow.
I'm logged in, so it's automatically going to go in, actually. But we can go get rid of it.
5 minute warning.
Alrighty. So cat sucks. Okay, I don't like that one. Oh, that's spam. Get rid of it.
So everything,
that was pretty easy.
Everything from that author is going to be spammed now, right?
I'm not sure how it works. But, all right, any questions before we, some of us go have some drinks and food? Yeah?
You had said that some of the other work, or content management systems were better. How is this different? Which is the one that you...
My main problem is I'm picky about content management systems, and none of them really do what I want them to do easily. I've taken a look at quite a few of them, especially taking a look at Joomla and Drupal. I haven't really looked at Moodle. Moodle's sort of geared towards learning and teaching. Drupal and Joomla are the ones I've looked at. They're exceedingly complex to configure. So you're going to have to invest quite a bit of time to learn them.
The way somebody explained it to me is, which I haven't messed with it myself, but it was mentioned that by somebody that worked with Drupal that it's not even really a content management system. It's more like
a framework to make,
for creating content management systems.
Yeah.
So, and
they throw in the kitchen sink, you know, if you need forums, it's got everything in them. Picture galleries, forums, you know, discussion forums. It's got so much in there, and then you have to learn the plugin system. You know, it's just a lot of work, unless you're going to find someone that can do it for you, or you know, you're going to pay to do it. Yeah. Whereas WordPress is seemingly approachable by mortals, or at least by us geek mortals. It doesn't seem like I'm going to spend 10 hours trying to configure my site. Unless, of course, I'm trying to make it look the way I want it, because I'm not a very good HTML designer, but that's, you know, that's a different issue. There are a lot of themes out there, WordPress themes out there. They all look pretty bloggish, though. So that's one potential issue with trying to use it as just a content management system. And by just a content management system, I mean just having pages there that are static but editable. I think that's what a lot of people are looking for with content management, without all the bells and whistles necessarily that you need to learn about. Does that answer your question?
Just a point, the county library has two books on Moodle.
On what? How do you spell
on Moodle?
Moodle. It's another content management system. So there's more content management systems, I think, than people out there. There's open source cms.org, I think, which will let you compare them and test from them.
Yeah, there's tons of them, but Moodle is one specialized for the education industry. And Alex, what's his last name, Gary Inman?
Yeah.
Specialized in that. He's out at Whitfield School. He's been doing that for a couple of years. They got it using out at Whitfield on sled and stuff. Noel hardware, Noel platform.
More questions?
5 minutes.
Pack it up.
All right.
If you get a website running, can you use this?
Put it in a subdirectory? You can put it in a subdirectory, or you can, if you've got access to your Apache config files, you can create a virtual host to put it in. I recommend the latter if possible.
You have to have PHP.
Sure.
Okay, that was Craig Buchek. Thank you very much, Craig. Hopefully we'll see most of you over